Welcome to episode 114 of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for February 9th, 2009. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. In this week's episode of the Fredcast, final results from Qatar, Tom Bonin saved from cocaine charges, and a Belgian rider dies in his sleep. Also, Colnago opens a U.S. office, and nuns need a bike mechanic. Following the news, do you name your bikes? And an interview with Martha Van Inwegen from Action Wipes and author Jennifer Sage, who tells you how to get the most out of indoor cycling. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. This week's episode of the Fredcast is sponsored by Jennifer Sage's ebook, Keep It Real, helping you get the most out of your indoor cycling. Also, by donations from listeners just like you, and by Audible. Go to audiblepodcast.com/cycling to get your free audiobook. Audible has over 50,000 titles available, so you're sure to find something you like. audiblepodcast.com/cycling. Well, welcome back to another episode of the Fredcast. Glad to have you with me. Thanks for listening, and thank you for staying subscribed. Well, here it is, just a couple of days before the start of the Tour of California. We've got a lot of coverage for you. Have a little bit more information for you about that later in the show. But leading off the news tonight for this episode of the Fredcast is a story, yes, about racing, but more about Olympic racing than anything else. We all know, we talked here on the show about the fact that Chris Hoy has now been knighted. That's Sir Chris Hoy to you and me. And one of the reasons for his ascension, for his knighthood, is for the stellar performance that he and his teammates had at the Beijing Olympics in 2008. And there was a lot of talk at the Beijing Olympics, and certainly on the coverage here in the United States, about the swimsuits that a lot of the American athletes were wearing. Apparently, Speedo had come up with some very fancy, seamless technology that helped those swimmers who were wearing those suits get that extra advantage in order to win. Well, it turns out that the British cycling team had a little bit of their own advantage in the suits that they were wearing at the 2008 Beijing Olympics. Now, these suits individually were not very expensive. They cost about £100 each, but you can imagine that the R&D that went into creating them must have been something pretty special, because over the next couple of days, all but a couple of these racing suits will be shredded and or incinerated, thanks to an edict from British Cycling's headquarters in Manchester, England. Chris Boardman, who's a former British Olympic cyclist himself, who is now British Cycling's Director of Research and Development, said, quote, "It'll be hard for the athletes not to use these suits in competition this year because they want every advantage they can have, but they're just going to have to use stock equipment." He went on to say, "Officially, we don't care about world championships. Our remit is to win Olympic medals. If we win every Olympic gold and lose every world championship medal, we're successful. That said, because we are competitive people, we all strive to win the world championships too." Interestingly, Boardman did admit the fact that they are working on more technology for the next Summer Olympic Games in 2012. He has a group of sports scientists and researchers known as the Secret Squirrel Club, and he said, quote, "We're already up and running." So while these suits are on their way to the incinerator and the shredder, the Secret Squirrel Club is at work on British cycling's next Olympic gold medals. Well, continuing a trend of the last couple of shows, I have yet another product recall for you. There are about 12,000 of these, so there is a good chance that somebody listening to the show may be affected by this, so listen closely. This is for Mavic R-SYS front wheel rims. These were manufactured in France and sold at specialty bicycle retailers from May 2007 through December 2008 for between $700 and $750 for the front wheel of the two-wheel set when these were sold separately from bikes. The problem here is that the spokes on the front wheel can break during use, posing a fall and crash hazard to riders, and Mavic USA has received one report of an injury, and that involved broken teeth. So this one's pretty serious. The recall involves R-SYS and R-SYS Premium front wheel rims. They were sold as original equipment on various bikes and were also sold separately. R-SYS rims are designed for road bikes, and R-SYS is printed on the front rim of the wheels. These are 22 millimeters in diameter with 16 tubular unidirectional carbon spokes. As always with these, stop using your bike equipped with these wheels right away and contact your retailer for a free replacement front rim. I've got links in the show notes to where you can find this information on Mavic's website, as well as to where you can find it on the Consumer Product Safety Commission's website as well. On last week's show, I told you about the initial results from stage one of the Tour of Qatar, or the Tour of Qatar, depending on how you say it. And trust me, I got lots of emails and blog comments about that one. I'm going to stick with Qatar for today. The Tour of Qatar was won by Tom Bonin of Quickstep, winning his third Tour of Qatar title. Bonin finished in 12 hours, 55 minutes, and 25 seconds. Second place going to Heinrich Hausler from Germany and Team Cervelo, just 8 seconds back. Third place to Roger Hammond of Great Britain, also from Team Cervelo, 10 seconds back. Fourth place went to Great Britain's Daniel Lloyd, also from Team Cervelo, 25 seconds back. And 27 seconds back, another fellow teammate from Cervelo, Andreas Klier from Germany. In the points classification, 100 points going to Heinrich Hausler, 92 to overall winner Tom Bonin, and 73 to Danilo Napolitano from Team Katusha. In the young rider classification, it was Heinrich Hausler, 12 hours, 55 minutes, and 33 seconds. Second place, Mark Cavendish from Great Britain. And I'm going to stop down there for a second. Did anybody hear me say Mike Cavendish last week? My apologies to Mr. Cavendish. Third place in the young rider classification going to Tom Wielers from Skill Shimano. And in the team's classification, I think it's no surprise, Cervelo taking top honors, followed by Quickstep and Team Colombia. The Tour of Qatar is normally a competitive 6-stage event, but the 5th stage on Thursday was interrupted and handled very differently as a result of a tragedy that occurred. 21-year-old Belgian cyclist Frederik Nolff died in his sleep only hours after riding the 4th stage and just before the 5th stage of this year's Tour of Qatar. Now, Nolff was a member of the Top Sport of Vlaanderen Mercator team, and they pulled out of the event out of respect and obviously out of shock over the unexpected death of their teammate. According to a statement from the team, quote, "Our thoughts are with Frederick's family, his girlfriend, and his mates." Now, professional cyclists are known for a lot of sportsmanlike behavior out there on the road. You can see it when the riders take a natural break. You can see it when a rider, out of respect, will pull up and allow another rider to win a stage. But when you have a tragedy like this, the entire peloton pulls together. And so instead of racing competitively the 5th stage of this year's Tour of Qatar, as a mark of respect, the 5th stage was shortened to just 40 kilometers and was neutralized, meaning that there would be no winners and everyone would finish. There would be no DNFs, and it was simply a ride, mostly in silence, out of respect for Frederik Nolff, his family, and his team. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the family, friends, and teammates of Belgian cyclist Frederik Nolff, passing away at the young age of 21 during the Tour of Qatar. On a happier note, we are all looking forward to this year's Amgen Tour of California, which takes place February 14th through the 22nd. February 14th is the prologue in the streets of Sacramento, and February 22nd, the race will end down in San Diego County after a grueling climb of Mount Palomar. A lot of folks looking forward to not only the Amgen Tour of California coming to San Diego, but also that climb up to the top of Mount Palomar. This year at the Tour of California, the Fredcast is partnering up with a couple of other folks in the cycling media. partnering up once again, as last year, with Bicycle.net. We'll be sharing coverage. The days that they can't be there, I'll be filling in for them. And the days that I can't be there, they'll be filling in for me. And together, we'll be producing a joint podcast, a daily tour podcast, to keep you up to date on everything going on at the Amgen Tour of California, and hopefully bringing you some behind-the-scenes coverage that you can't get anywhere else. In addition, we will be partnering up with Cycle Film. Marcus Newart from Cycle Film has agreed to provide daily videos to the Fredcast, and we'll be putting those up at www.thefredcast.com, including one or two exclusive videos just for the Fredcast. I'd encourage you to go ahead and check out www.bicycle.net and also check out www.cyclefilm.com. In the meantime, a couple of great announcements. Number one, we are having a meetup. This will be your chance, if you're in Northern California, to come out and say hi and meet me and several of my other friends from the bicycle community, including Marcus from Cycle Film, Jonathan and his mates from Bicycle.net. I also know that a number of other people are showing up, including Fritz from Cyclicious, and I'm expecting some of your favorite cycling photographers to be showing up as well, and some other media types. That's going to be Saturday night, February 14th, in Sacramento at 7 p.m. The place is TBA. Keep your eyes on my Twitter feed, twitter.com/Fredcast, and also on the website at www.thefredcast.com for the details on where we will be meeting Saturday night at the Tour of California. I'm also hoping to plan a meetup down in Southern California on either Friday or Saturday night when the Tour of California rolls through Santa Clarita or Pasadena. I'll have more details on that coming up in a show very soon. In the meantime, a couple of questions for you. Let me know what it is you would like to hear, what it is you would like to see from our coverage at the Tour of California. Send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com and let me know what you would like. And on the flip side, if you are listening and you're affiliated with a team or with someone else involved in the Amgen Tour of California, drop me an email. Let me know. I would love to get some additional access. Be happy to give some coverage to your team in exchange, of course, for some access to your riders and perhaps your mechanics, a little bit of behind the scenes of what goes on with your team or your organization involved in the event. So go ahead and send me an email to thefredcast@gmail.com, and we'll be able to cover your team or your organization during our daily tour coverage of the Amgen Tour of California for 2009. Finally, for those of you who will be in Sacramento for the prologue on Saturday, February 14th, although there is rain in the forecast, and of course that is a few days out, so hopefully that will change. For those of you that are going to be there, you will get the chance to ride the prologue course before the Pro Peloton hits the road. This is the Sutter Health Sacramento Community Ride. It begins at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday, February 14th. Sacramento Mayor Kevin Johnson and other dignitaries will lead the public on a single circuit of the 2.4-mile route. Now, this is not a race. This is not your opportunity to show how fast you are. This is really just a community ride. It's open to the public and free of charge. There's no registration fee. Just show up with a bike at about 11 a.m. near the starting line at the corner of Capitol Mall and 9th Street. This is a family ride, not a race. But if you're interested in saying that you rode the prologue course, this is your chance. And speaking of community and professional cycling and the link between the two, if for those of you who have been watching Lance Armstrong's return to cycling, you know that he is on Team Astana. And you notice that when he's training with his team, they're all wearing the Team Astana kit, and Lance is wearing a different outfit because he's wearing his Livestrong kit, because part of Lance's return to professional cycling is about bringing awareness to the global fight against cancer. Well, his team, Team Astana, has launched a new website called RideForLivestrong.com, and this website outlines the team's involvement in Lance's global cancer initiative. And the goal, according to the website, is to raise $275,000 in 2009 for global cancer research. Why $275,000? Because that represents just one penny for every cancer death that has occurred during Lance Armstrong's retirement period, or 27.5 million people. Now let that number sit with you for a second. 27.5 million people passed away as a result of cancer during the time that Lance Armstrong was retired. According to a note on the website from Lance himself, quote, in 2009, 27 riders from 9 nationalities are teaming up to win races, but also increase cancer awareness internationally and raise money for my foundation to support the cancer fight. Go to the website. You can make a donation online. You can enter all sorts of competitions, and you can find out about all of the Astana riders and their personal link to cancer and more. Basically, when you go to the website, you can roll over with your mouse the various members of Team Astana and find out what connection that they have to cancer. And for those of you who haven't had a chance to really get to know Team Astana for 2009, I'd encourage you to go there because the names on this team are made up of some of the most luminous riders in the sport of professional cycling today. This is going to be one tough team. And while I think I've made it clear that my favorite team used to be Team CSC, now Team Saxo Bank, I am really still impressed with what Astana has put together for 2009. This is going to be an exciting professional racing season. We spoke earlier about Tom Bonin from Team Quickstep winning the Tour of Qatar, and we spoke last week about the fact that Tom Bonin was going to be having his day in court while he was in Qatar for the race based on his positive test for cocaine use last year. According to the Belgian news agency Belga, citing Belgian authorities, Tom Bonin will not face trial after that positive out-of-competition cocaine test. Now, just to remind you, this out-of-competition test was conducted between two races last May and found traces of cocaine in Tom Bonin's urine sample. The spokeswoman for the Belgian prosecutor's office was not available for comment. However, I have a feeling that Tom Bonin now will be able to concentrate 100% of his efforts on the 2009 racing season and hopefully won't make the same mistake again. And please notice that I made it through that whole story without mentioning the name Michael Phelps even once. And finally, to end our sort of coverage of professional cycling and, yes, doping, there was a story that was circulated last week about the fact, and it was very highly touted, and there were all sorts of people waving their arms and gesticulating wildly about the fact that Team Saxo Bank, the aforementioned favorite team of yours truly, has ended their drug testing program, their internal drug testing program. There was all sorts of speculation about what this could mean. Does this mean that they've got dirty riders on the squad? Does this mean that they're turning a blind eye to doping? And the simple fact of the matter is, according to Saxo Bank spokesman Brian Nygaard, and I think that this is the best explanation, listen closely, folks, and stop gesticulating wildly. Brian said, quote, "The International Cycling Union has set up a standard which means that we would simply be doubling up." In other words, with the blood passport program and with the UCI doing a much more stringent test than ever before, there's no reason for Saxo Bank, in their opinion, to continue their own internal drug testing program. So this is my take on the situation. I hope that you agree. If you have a different perspective, feel free to let me know. Trust me, just because they're my favorite team, you're not going to insult me. Bicycle Retailer reported this week that Colnago is launching a direct U.S. subsidiary called Colnago America later this month. For those of you who aren't aware, Colnago hasn't had their own United States office or their own North American office, instead relying on distributors to handle the Colnago brand here in North America. They were on a second distributor over the last couple of years with Veltec Sports, and now they're going to have their own U.S. subsidiary. According to Ernesto Colnago himself, quote, "We're extremely excited to announce that we've created Colnago America, which will now be the direct supplier of Colnago frames and accessories in America." Alex Colnago said, quote, "Over the past several years, Colnago has experienced exceptional growth worldwide, but to reach our full potential in North American market, we felt for a while we needed to make a change. For the first time in the long history of Colnago sales in America, we will be in a position to have full control over our distribution, sales, and marketing. Now we will be able to offer more competitive prices, improve delivery, and better service to our retailers and Colnago riders in North America." Colnago America will be headed by Sorens Krebs, who has been with Veltec Sports for a number of years, and the new Colnago America will be based in Chicago. Well, here's a bit of good news for those of you in the Bay Area who ride the Caltrain and who have been frustrated by the lack of sufficient bicycle space on those trains, something that's frequently chronicled on Fritz's Cyclicious blog. The Caltrain Board of Directors last week decided that the number of bike racks in gallery cars should increase 25% from 32 to 40, while the number of racks in the Bombardier cars should soar 50% from 16 to 24. In order to do this, they're going to be removing a number of seats from each of those cars, and in total, all the available bike slots for the entire day should increase 28% from the current 4,000 to 5,152, and during peak commute times, there should be 27% more slots for a total of 2,930, and that means that a total of 272 seats will be removed. So a little bit of good news for those of you who take the Caltrain in Northern California. Hopefully, you won't get left at the station, as has happened frequently, and hopefully, you'll get to work on time. For the last couple of months, we've been talking a lot here in the United States, and I'm sure elsewhere, about the global financial meltdown, if you will, and the effect that it's had on the global economy. Well, one of the things that was done here in the United States was a financial rescue package that was passed last year, and as part of that financial rescue package was a bicycle commuter benefit of $20 per month. The problem is that very few folks have figured out exactly how they can claim their $20 per month as outlined in that financial rescue package. Well, the League of American Bicyclists has put together a website where you can go not only to read the text of the law itself, but also to find out the reason for the bicycle commuter benefit being included in the financial rescue package, as well as how you can claim your $20 per month bicycle commuter benefit. I've put a link in the show notes at www.thefredcast.com so that if you are a bicycle commuter and you want to claim your benefit, you can go right to the League of American Bicyclists website and get all of the information straight from them. Thanks so much to the Bike League for putting this together, because the IRS publication that is offered, that's IRS publication 15-B, is about as clear as mud. From time to time on the show, I've talked about the growing trend across the United States for buffer zone laws for cyclists. Specifically, these laws typically state that cars have to stay 3 feet from a cyclist when they are driving down the road. And unfortunately, as I go through the news in preparation for each week's show, I read about more and more cyclists getting hit, injured, and even worse, killed as a result of cars that don't maintain that 3-foot space. And you know, how many times have you been riding your bike legally down the street and wanted to scream out to those cars, "Give me 3 feet, please"? Well, one day last year, a cyclist in Tallahassee, Florida, by the name of Joseph Mizerik, had the same exact thought. And instead of yelling, he created some jerseys. He went to Volé, he had some jerseys printed out that say, "It's the law, 3 feet, please, and safe distance," with a couple of arrows on either side. And I'm happy to let you know that these jerseys are now available. Good for Joseph for doing this. You can get your long sleeve jerseys for $65 or your short sleeve jerseys for $60 with free shipping. And I put a link in the show notes. So good for Joseph for putting this together. I think it's a great idea. It's a yellow jersey with black stripes so that it's not easy to miss. And it's got a real good message that tells those motorists out there, hey, you've got the right of way. They've got to give you 3 feet. You can find the info at feetplease.com. And of course, there's a link in the show notes. And finally tonight, a story from the Kansas City Star and Mike Hendricks, and hopefully Mike won't mind me giving you a little bit of the introduction from the story. He says, officially, They're the Sisters of St. Francis of the Holy Eucharist. But, according to Sister Andrea Cantner, quote, some call us the Sisters at the end of Nolan Road. She goes on to say, some call us the Sisters with the Flowers, but according to Mike Hendricks, however, for purposes of today's column, we'll call them the Sisters of the Blessed Bicycles. And the reason for this is because they have hundreds of bicycles that they are trying to send to needy communities around the world, but for the fact that these bikes need work. So the reason for the reporting the story here on the Fredcast is I know that there are a lot of Fredcast listeners who know how to fix bikes, and that there are also a lot of Fredcast listeners who are interested in giving back to their community and certainly to people who are less fortunate than we. So if there are Fredcast listeners in the Kansas City or Independence, Missouri areas, I would urge you to go to the show notes and to click on the link for the Sisters of St. Francis of the Holy Eucharist website or to give them a call at 816-252-1673 and see if you can't help the sisters out with fixing up these bikes before they head off to communities less fortunate than ours. Thanks so much for helping out. And here ends today's lesson on this episode of the Fredcast. Now, before we move on to today's features on the Fredcast, I wanted to thank one of our show sponsors, and that's Audible.com. Audible has over 50,000 audiobooks on their library, and if you go to audiblepodcast.com/cycling, you'll get to download a free audiobook today. As a matter of fact, you're going to get a 14-day free trial of Audible's Listener Gold program. You'll be able to download a free audiobook of your choice and choose from over 50,000 audiobooks and more. Plus, it's compatible with your iPod and over 500 other portable devices. I love Audible. I've been an Audible listener for quite some time. And if I was going to recommend a book for you this week, it would probably be something that would take your mind away from economic troubles and bailouts and politics and global strife, and instead tell a simple story about a 16-year-old who finds himself alone on a lifeboat with a couple of animals, a hyena, an orangutan, a zebra, and even a Bengal tiger. The book is called The Life of Pi, and it's by Jan Martel. That charming book and over 50,000 others are available on audible.com. Simply go to audiblepodcast.com/cycling or go to the Fredcast and click on the link on the right-hand side of the page and sign up for your 14-day free trial of the Audible Listener Gold program, and you'll get your free audiobook of your choice. We thank Audible for their sponsorship of the Fredcast. Also, two more things before we get to the features this week. Number one, I have redesigned the Fredcast.com. So if you haven't been there in a while, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Go to www.thefredcast.com and check out the new redesign of the site. And speaking of designs, we are just finishing the design for our new Team Fredcast jerseys. Over the next few days, I will be announcing a pre-sale of those jerseys. I'll give you the pre-sale price as well as the regular price for those jerseys, and I will have all of that info available soon at www.thefredcast.com, and we want to thank Black Bottoms Cyclewear for their sponsorship and also for their awesome design of the new Team Fredcast jerseys. Stay tuned for more information about that. And while you're on the website, go ahead and check out a blog post that I did a couple of days ago following a Twitter conversation that I had about whether or not you name your bike or your bikes. And I think that you'll find the comments really interesting. So if you don't follow me on Twitter, that's fine. Go to thefredcast.com and check out that blog post about do you name your bikes. It started some pretty interesting conversation. I think that you'll really enjoy it. Now, speaking of Twitter, and I know how much you all enjoy me speaking of Twitter, but the whole conversation about do you name your bike came out of a Twitter post from our next interview, and that is with author Jennifer Sage. Now, you may recall that we talked to Jennifer at Interbike in 2008 about her travel company, Viva Travels. But Jennifer is also an author, and she's written a book called Keep It Real in Your Indoor Cycling Classes, and it's all about how to make sure that when you're working out in your gym, doing spinning or indoor cycling, that that workout translates directly to an improvement in your road cycling. So here's my interview with Jennifer Sage about her new ebook, Keep It Real. Back for a second interview on the Fredcast, but with a completely different perspective. I'm really glad to welcome back Jennifer Sage. Hey, Jennifer, welcome back.
Thank you, David. It's good to be back.
Oh, it's great to have you. So the last time you were on the show, we were talking about your European cycling vacations, and you've got some self-guided tours and you do some guided tours.
Viva Travels.
Viva Travel. But today we're talking about your new ebook, and I'm really pleased because, I have to say thank you. Jennifer is a new sponsor on the show. We're talking about your book, Keep It Real, and this is about indoor cycling, but there's a subhead, Keep It Real in Your Indoor Cycling Classes. Now, we're doing this on a Friday night. It's about 6:30 in the evening. And when we're done, I'm going to go hop on my CompuTrainer. And I'm one of those people you talk about in the book. I've got my trainer in the basement. And sometimes it is tough to get motivated to do that. One of the things that I've never really gotten is how indoor cycling, or if we use the trademark term spinning, how's that really going to translate for me as a roadie or as a mountain biker?
Well, I think a lot of cyclists don't think it can translate because it's been given a bad name by a lot of the instructors out there who have, I hate to say, ruined it and turned it into what I call aerobics on a bike. And in indoor cycling, there's kind of a division between like the fitness realm and the cycling realm. And what I want to do is bridge that gap because there doesn't really need to be that division.
You know, it's funny you say aerobics on a bike because that's the way I've always thought of it. And I got it for full disclosure. One of my best friends is a spinning instructor and she loves it. And she just thinks it's a great way to stay in shape. And I have no doubt about that, that it's a great way to remain aerobically fit and to get a great workout. But I've always questioned for me as primarily a roadie, if I walk into one of those classes, is this really going to translate? But your book really helps people with that, doesn't it?
It does, because I tell you how it can translate. There are some differences between an indoor cycling bike, and I do want to draw the distinction. The term spinning and a spinner bike is a trademark. It's a branded product, and not all spinning is indoor. Well, spinning is indoor cycling, but not all indoor cycling is spinning. So I'm just going to use the term indoor cycling. There is some differences with an indoor cycling bike. And the primary difference is that weighted flywheel. And once it gets rolling, if you just stood next to the bike, didn't ride it, and stood next to it and took the pedals and got them going really fast and let go, they're going to go around for a very long time. And the reason is because of the momentum, the inertia of that flywheel. Imagine someone who's not really trying that hard gets that while they're sitting on the bike, gets the pedals going, they're just strapped on for the ride. I call it being ridden by bike instead of riding the bike. So what I explain in the book is how to manage that inertia. And I talk a lot about realistic cadences and realistic resistance. A cyclist is going to understand what I'm talking about, but I'm still surprised sometimes cyclists get in there and they start pedaling at 110, 120, 130 RPM and think they're getting, you know, the benefit of training fast with the leg speed. But it really, that doesn't translate a whole lot because of the inertial effects of the flywheel. But once you learn how to manage those things, you really can work on your pedal stroke. You really can work on technique. And it really does work. I live in a ski area, you know, one state over from you. I'm in Vail, Colorado. Yep. I would say I just had my first outdoor ride yesterday down in Fort Collins. But normally I don't ride 7 months a year. All of my training is indoor on a spin bike because I'm one of those people who get bored to death. And I put my bike on a trainer and I try. But give me the excitement of a spinning class as long as it's relevant to cycling.
So let's talk about that because one, I mean, really, there's two issues here. So number one, I've never been in a spin class, and so, or an indoor cycling class. And for me, it's a little bit intimidating, because I'm going to walk in and I'm sort of feeling like everybody else in that room has probably done this before. And I'm a little worried. I'm going to look, you know, a little bit like the neophyte. So I'm sure that that happens, number one. And then number two, you know, the instructor really rules that class. And if the instructor doesn't understand how to translate indoor cycling to real world, for instance, road cycling, how am I still going to be able to get as much from that class as I can?
That's a very good question. And I give a lot of tips on how to do that in the ebook. First of all, I suggest you seek out instructors who do know something about cycling and maybe a club that might be a little more cycling oriented. But, you know, if someone is limited, this is my club, this is where I, you know, what I can afford or what I, where the schedules fit into my schedule. Then I tell you how to sit in the back, and there are certain things that are prevalent in some indoor cycling classes that not only a cyclist, really anyone should not do. I actually have a list of 13 things you should avoid in indoor cycling classes. So if the instructor starts doing them, you just sit there, pay attention to your cadence, pay attention to your resistance, and just ride the bike.
Okay,
one of the things we do, at least in the spinning program, and I'm, by the way, one thing we didn't mention is I am a master instructor for spinning, so I certify instructors, but I teach instructors, give modifications, let people do what they want to do. Not everyone has to follow the instructor. So that is really one of the tenets of what we teach in spinning. One thing I wouldn't suggest is if the class is doing something easy in the saddle, you know, you don't want to get out of the saddle and huff and puff and sprint.
Right.
But, you know, if they're doing some movements you don't want to do, or if they're working hard and you really have a recovery or a, you know, like working on your base, just sit in the back and go easier. It really doesn't matter if everyone's doing the same thing.
So what about the situation where I'm traveling for business and, you know, I go, instead of going to the local fitness club, I go down to the fitness center in my hotel. Happens all the time. They've got an electronic bike and then they've got the spin bike. Are there things that people can do on their own without being in a class and still get a good cycling specific workout?
Yep. In fact, in my book, I have a series of intervals, classes or sessions that you can do. I give some examples of how to test yourself and determine your a threshold. There's actually a field test in there and a lot of heart rate training information. So you can go on your own and, you know, do what you would do on your own trainer, but also take some of the information in the book and create your own interval workouts.
Now, you, when you do your traveling groups, taking people over to the French Alps or someplace in Italy, you also prepare training plans for them. Do you recommend to your clients that, for instance, if like you and I, they can't get out and ride outdoors, that they do indoor cycling as well? And do you provide them with some of these training plans like you were talking about?
I do. Now that I've written this book, all of my clients now get the book as everyone just gets it, all my new clients. But and I've been a master instructor for 12 years for spinning. So I've always been a real big proponent of indoor cycling classes, again, that keep it real. And I've warned them for a long time, you know, what to avoid. But this is the first time I really put it down into one place where they get all that information.
How do you find the cycling specific class, the one that's really going to help them and be more about cycling than about aerobics? What sorts of tips can you give people to do that?
Test the classes. Really, you know, you have to go to a club and ask if you can take a few classes. Check out different instructors. Talk to the managers. Talk to the instructors. Talk to other people who've been taking spinning classes or indoor cycling classes and, you know, find out which ones are probably the most relevant. Obviously, it's got to fit into your schedule. You know, if you can only train at 5:30 or 6 in the morning, then, you know, it's going to limit it a little bit more. But I also think it's important to talk to the instructor and maybe make some suggestions. In fact, I have a suggestion in the book. If you like your instructor, but they're doing some things you wish they weren't doing, maybe you just give them a link to buy the book.
Hey, there's a good idea. Tell them to go to fredcast.com and buy the book.
Absolutely, because I truly think that this book is very important for any cyclist who wants to take indoor cycling and make it relevant and really improve their performance. You can improve your climbing skills. You can improve your endurance. You can improve your strength. You can even improve your power if you really understand how to use the resistance and the cadence correctly. It doesn't have watts, so it's, you know, if you really want to get into the power training, you'll probably have to get on your CompuTrainer and work with watts. But I also think that every instructor needs to read this book.
Dovetailing on what you said, I was blown away when I read the book at how you really could get such a good cycling-specific workout out of spinning or indoor cycling. I was really impressed. And the thing that really got me was at the end of the book, actually one of the last appendices, it talks about the master classes that you teach around the country. And I thought to myself before that, come on, can I really improve my climbing? For it's going back to the Alps again this summer. Can I really improve my time on the Alpe d'Huez, my climbing in the Alps? And I noticed that you do a class specifically called Alpe d'Huez. Explain that to me. How does that work?
It's a very, very popular class when I go to a conference. And we climbed the 21 switchbacks of Alpe d'Huez. And I think it's very, very unique in that I talk to my class, I talk to my students as if I am the voice in their head. I tell them that they are a domestique. They're at the end of a very long stage. They've already ridden three, you know, category one or category climbs, and this is the last one of the day. Their team leader is probably already at the top celebrating, and here you are faced with these 21 switchbacks, this wall in front of you. And so I go through fear and worry and doubt, and it rains and then it clears. And so it's kind of a very visual. And then, of course, my rider triumphs at the top. Mm-hmm. And I use some really fun, motivating French music and some powerful climbing music. And it's pretty cool. I'll be doing it actually in 2 weeks in New York at a fitness conference out there.
If you want to know where to get the book, just go to thefredcast.com. I'm actually putting a link right on the top corner of the page to where you can get the book. Jennifer, let people know how much the book costs.
The book is $19.99, and so it's really, you know, not much at all to invest in your performance, your climbing abilities. Like I said, I live in Vail, Colorado. It's a ski area. I don't ride in the snow. I know some people do. We have snow 6 months a year. I come off of the season, and I'll be going to Europe, as you know. And so I train on an indoor bike to climb Alpe d'Huez, to climb Fontu. Here in the early summer, we go climb Independence Pass. And I tell you, I probably only have one or two, three climbs on my real road bike by the time I get there. So it's all indoors for me. It works if you know what to do correctly.
And in order to know what to do correctly, you need Jennifer's book, and you can find it at www.thefredcast.com. Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on the show, for writing the book. I think it's going to be helpful for a lot of cyclists out there who, like you and others like me, who can't train outdoors. I think it's going to be very, very helpful. And then feel free, let everybody know once again where they can also find your travel information.
Well, that is, my company is called Viva Travels, and it's www.vivatravels.com. V as in Victor, I-V-A, travels with an S.com.
Excellent. Jennifer, thanks so much for coming on the show, for writing the book. For those of you who are interested, go to www.thefredcast.com. Go ahead and click the link with Jennifer's picture on it and check out the book. I think that you will really enjoy it. Jennifer, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, you're so welcome. I really enjoyed it.
So that was Jennifer Sage, author of Keep It Real. Next up, I've got an interview with, yes, another Twitter person. This is Martha Van Inwegen. I met Martha on Twitter, and she was talking about her product, Action Wipes. She sent me some samples. I was quite and I still am, taken with them and also with Martha and her, not only her personality, but also her ability to really market her product in a very genuine way. Now, before we get into the interview, towards the end of the interview, it gets a little bit PG-13. So if you're listening with your kids, now might be the time to turn it off and then return to it later. So just a little warning for you there. Nevertheless, I think this is a really delightful interview. I think you will enjoy hearing from Martha Van Inwegen about her product, Action Wipes. We're on the line today with Martha Van Inwegen. Martha is from a company called Action Wipes at actionwipes.com. Martha, welcome to the Fredcast.
Hey, thanks, David.
Oh, it's great to have you here. Martha, before we get started and start talking about, you know, how you got started with the product, just give everybody a brief idea of what Action Wipes are.
Okay. Well, Action Wipes are a shower alternative that I created for athletes, cyclists, hikers, outdoor enthusiasts, you know, folks that like to travel. Right now, a lot of the folks out there are using baby wipes when they don't have a shower available or a bath available. And if you read the back of the labels within these baby wipes, you're going to find a lot of harsh chemicals. So I was looking for something that was more natural, which was bigger and thicker, and would smell great too, without reminding me of those babies back at home.
So you sent me some samples and I've had an opportunity to try them. Number one, they smell great. What is that smell?
You know, again, keeping in mind that I wanted to keep everything natural, I use pure essential oils, and I wanted them to be naturally antibacterial and antifungal. So we use eucalyptus and tea tree, and the third oil is frankincense. So it's a combination of those three basic ingredients, those three essential oils that give it that great spa scent, is what I call it.
It really is. I mean, it's almost like an aromatherapy scent, isn't it?
Right, right. Aromatherapy is basically, you know, the combination of the essential oils that we're using.
Wow. And the other way that, you know, of course, you can use them after a ride. You can use them after going to the gym. I was recently on a long trip. I had to go over to Asia, and you sent me an email and said, take some with you. And I did. And you know what? After a long flight, they were awesome.
Aren't they? Yeah. Because, I mean, come on. You're going to be – I figure you're going to be in the plane for, what, 16 hours at least?
Yeah.
That was a long trip. You get off of that plane, you're all sweaty. Everybody else is sweaty with you. You know, these are great for traveling. You know, you're going to be going on a long car trip. Perfect for that too.
And, you know, the other thing is when you're done with a long ride, like, for instance, when you do a century, one of the things that you know, a coach will tell you, or something I talked about recently on the show about saddle sores. You know, one of the ways that you want to avoid that is get out of those shorts, get clean, and get into something else. And Action Wipes would be perfect for that.
They are perfect. You know, what's even better is that the tea tree oil really helps heal. So for the saddle sore, and also too, if you got any road rash and you happen to fall while riding, get any road rash, that's a really good way to clean it up, because it's the antiseptic with properties within that oil that are going to help ease the and soothe the pain too.
Yeah. Now you talked about baby wipes, and you know, a lot of cyclists, as you rightfully said, they'll keep baby wipes in the trunk of their car for after their ride, and one of the problems that I've found with baby wipes is that they're small. Action Wipes are bigger. What's the size?
They're actually 9 by 10 inch. So you can do pretty much your whole upper body with one wipe. And what I like to suggest is start at the top and work your way down,
mm-hmm.
you know, not vice versa.
Yeah, that makes a certain amount of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. But, one will do pretty much your whole body. And the cool thing about them, too, is that we use a little surfactant in there. It gives it a sudsing action. So you're just not putting a scent over your body odor, you're actually cleaning that body odor off and cleaning that sweat off with a wipe. So it really is like a mild soap that doesn't leave your skin dry or tight like the baby wipes will.
You mentioned road rash, and of course that does happen to us. What about anything else that might happen to you out there? Insect bites, sunburns, things like that?
Insect bites. You know, one of the things, too, with eucalyptus and the tea tree is that they tend to be a natural bug repellent as well. and they're also anti-inflammatory. So you can use that if you've gotten an insect bite, if you've gotten into poison ivy. You know, as soon as you know that you've come in contact with poison ivy or poison oak, get the wipes out and clean that off. And what we found is that it really helps in preventing the rash from appearing. We use it on our dogs too, because, you know, when we go for a walk, they'll go running through the poison oak and come back. And so we'll wipe them down right away before they rub against our legs or anything. But what we also did was create a sport spray that, and as you noticed, the wipes are really tough. They can actually withstand machine washing, and they can withstand up to 4 to 5 machine washings and drying. So rather than throwing them away, what we recommend is that you repurpose them or reuse them. So if you wash them and leave them moist, you can actually use the sport spray that we created to recharge them. Within the sport spray itself, we have so many more essential oils to give it an even better antibacterial agent that all the oils we use in that are too a bug repellent. So we like to, I would love to cross market that as a natural bug repellent and anti-inflammatory, antibacterial spray.
Yeah, that makes sense. I hate using the bug repellent that has DEET in it. Number one, it stinks. Yeah. And number two, I'm not so sure how safe that is.
Yeah, well, read the warnings. You know, yeah. I think it's
do not apply to body, right? But then what are you supposed to do with it?
Right.
So, you mentioned the fact that you can repurpose or you can wash mm-hmm. the wipes. I know that a big thing with you and with your company is social and environmental responsibility. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, we started the company, and actually the name of the company is called Life Elements. Action Wipes is just one of our products. We have another collection called C&M Couples that I'll tell you a little bit about later. But from the get-go, when I started the company, I was looking for products that were all natural, that weren't harmful to the environment, that weren't harmful to me or my children, to our family, to our pets. And so everything that I created was with the intent that it had to be safe, not just for the family, but for the environment and the planet as well. So everything that all the products, all the body lotions, the body washes, candles are all 100% natural. And then the packaging itself, I didn't want to fill the landfill. So the packaging is recyclable as well. The action wipes, they're so thick. They're made out of polyester. And so polyester is actually recyclable. So a couple things that you can do with a wipe is that, again, you can repurpose it multiple times. You know, if you don't want to reuse it on your body, you can use it as a rag around the house. You can use it to wash your car. You can use it to clean your bike, your chain, anything. And when you're done, you can put it in the recycling bin. And so it's about keeping our land, you know, protecting our landfills.
Wow, it's a great idea. Now, I have to ask you, how did you get involved in making this product? Where did the sort of the genesis of this product come from?
Well, the genesis is, as I mentioned, we have another product line. It's called C&M Couples. And that is, as the name implies, a collection that I created for couples. When I was working in the software industry, I was traveling 75% of the time, wanting to come home and be romantic with my husband. I found that everything was really cheesy and greasy and sticky and, you know, foo-foo. And so there wasn't anything really natural. And so that was the first line I created. I thought, I want a really tasteful, elegant line that I can share with my husband and share with my friends. And so we created C&M Couples. And within that collection, you have everything that a couple would need to create a romantic atmosphere and a romantic environment. So I start you off by creating this mood with aromatherapy using, starting by lighting a candle. We have a linen mist. We have a bath and shower gel. We have a massage cream. We even have a personal lubricant. And then, you know, after all that, I wanted, if my husband and I really got romantic, got down and active, I wanted something available, readily available for me to clean up afterwards. Because, you know, when you get intimate with somebody has to go run to the restroom to get the wet washcloth, or You know, you grab whatever's available, a dirty t-shirt, so that you're not laying in the wet spot, right?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. And by the way, I have to compliment you on the way in which you describe this. You're very practiced at it.
Well, I had to practice with my parents because they were wondering what I was creating. So I had to be gentle with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And use layman terms that they could understand. And so that's, I've become comfortable in speaking about it.
Sure.
And I actually was, the first collection was, I was selling it to spas and resorts. And so, it is a tasteful line. It's still available. But within that, that's where I created this intimacy towelette. It's called Tela d'Amour, which translates to love towel. And from that, it was such, people loved it. And I don't know if you've heard of Burning Man.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, Burning Man. Every year, friends started taking the towelettes to Burning Man, because it really helped with the playa foot. And of course, there's no water available out there in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
So they were using it as their shower alternative out there for the 7-day-long festivity. And then people started taking it to Coachella, the music festivals,
sure,
too, the overnight music festivals. So they said, oh my gosh, this towelette that you have has so much more uses than you actually intended it for. And so these folks encouraged me to change the packaging, remarket it for the outdoor and sports industry. And so that's what we've done. It's that's the genesis behind Action Wipes. It was an intimacy towelette with multiple uses.
Interesting. So you've really started the Action Wipes brand from a very grassroots level, at Burning Man and then beyond. And you've been really fantastic at marketing the brand using a variety of means, including social media.
Right.
And I think that's gone fairly well for you. What are your next steps? Where do you see the company going in the next year, 2, 5, 10?
Well, let's see. The grassroots has really been an eye-opener for me, first of all, because I spent a lot of money with the first, the C&M Couples collection. I made a lot of mistakes in terms of marketing and expenses and things like that. And so when I wanted to get Action Wipes going, like you said, I had to do it grassroots because funding was an issue. And so I am using social media as much as possible. I'm a big Twitter. That's how you and I met.
That's right.
But my goal is to take Action Wipes globally. I've had a lot of inquiries since starting on Twitter. I've sent samples all the way as far as the UK, and I just sent up some samples to Ireland to a bike shop there, and people are loving it. My issue right now, my problem, is that I don't have enough distribution to help me. I'm a one-person shop here. And so if I can get my goal over the next year is to get distributors and also to hopefully find an angel investor, because even that is going to take additional funding, to get the new product line or new inventory going. And I've had inquiries from companies wanting to private label the wipe as well. So I would love to do that. Harley Davidson, I would love to target them. They have a lot of riders that love the wipe, and they might want to put their name on it as well. So hopefully within the next year, find distributors that can help me go globally and help find angel investor to help with the expansion of the line as well, because I do want to create other product lines aside from the wipe, which is the whole body care for athletes.
Wow, that makes sense. Well, let's tell the listeners where they can get their own Action Wipes, the sprays, even the C&M Couples. And I'll be honest, Martha sent me samples not only of Action Wipes, but also of the C&M Couples brand. I'm going to be honest, we're happy with it.
Hey, but didn't you love that cool metal tin box that it came in? Because now you can put other stuff in it.
Oh, no, it's fantastic. No, the whole presentation of the C&M Couples, I just thought was tasteful, number one. And the products are great. We're really, really happy with them. So I can't complain. They don't really have my endorsement. Where can the listeners get more information? Where can they get the products?
Okay, well, this is a little complicated because I do have two separate websites. I'm hoping to, like I said, once we get some investment into the company, that we can streamline all this and just go to one website. But for right now, the C&M Couples Collection, the website for that is cmcouples.com. And C stands for Kurt, who is my husband, and the M stands for Martha. So it's Kurt and, you know,
makes
cheesy,
yeah.
Corny, I know. What can I say? And so cmcouples.com, and then for the Action Wipes, it's actionwipes.com. And I would like to offer your listeners a 15% discount on the Action Wipes, and all they have to do is enter the code FREDCAST, and it will be automatically taken off.
That is fantastic. So the Action Wipes will take the grime off of you, and the code will take the 15% off the Action Wipes. Martha, that's great. And of course, I'll put links in the show notes to where everybody can find both C&M Couples and Action Wipes, and also where they can find you on Twitter.
At Martha Van.
There you go. It's Martha Van, and that's twitter.com/Martha Van. Martha, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Hey, David, thank you.
It has been a pleasure.
Was fun.
Okay.
All right,
bye-bye.
Thanks.
Well, with those two interviews with two excellent businesswomen, authors, entrepreneurs, travel gurus, that's going to close out this episode of the Fredcast, Fredcast number 114. We're getting ready for the 2009 Amgen Tour of California. We'll have lots of coverage for you next week. But until then, if you'd like to get in touch with me here at the Fredcast, there's many ways that you can do that. First of all, to stay in contact with what we're doing on a day-to-day basis, follow us on Twitter. That's www.twitter.com/Fredcast, or send me an email. The email address is thefredcast@gmail.com. You can use that for sending me text comments or for inserting an audio comment if you have those capabilities. If not, feel free to call our listener hotline at area code 435-258-6FRED. That's 435-258-6373. Or if you're on Skype, the Skype handle is thefredcast. And as I mentioned earlier, I've redesigned the website. Go ahead and check it out. It's a place to find everything that there is to know about the Fredcast Cycling Podcast, and that's www.thefredcast.com. Today's PodSafe Cycling music comes to us from Rex-O-Matic Records. This is Rex Anderson himself with the band Big for His Age. The song is called What You Gonna Do About Me. Links in the show notes to where you can find Rex's website and where you can find the song, the album, and Rex himself on iTunes. So we'll be back in just a couple of days with our 2009 Amgen Tour of California coverage. In the meantime, enjoy the music. But most of all, enjoy the ride.
locks change quite a bit. Give it to me straight now, I need the truth. Don't go and play me like no fool. You've changed your scene, new friends to meet. Your change complete, but baby, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do?